Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, it's 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is October the 15th, 2022. And you're tuned in to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the Michael Gay Network. Hello, everybody, and happy Saturday to you. Last Saturday, we took a little time off, and I apologize because, obviously, there was dead air. From what I was told, I did a program, one of our past shows, to air, and for some reason, it didn't come up. I don't know why, for some reason. And now I'm kind of like out on a limb because I have a new laptop. Well, I won't say new. I have a laptop that I got from a coworker of mine a few months ago, and it's pretty much new. But it's kind of moving slow on me because my other laptop here is having some issues as far as connecting to my Wi-Fi. I don't know why, but that's what I'm dealing with right now. But I want to say again, happy Saturday to you. Thank you for tuning in. Let me get to the chat room and open it up because I've been working on that too. Oh, man, it's been a hell of a week. In a lot of things, in politics and sports and just everything you can name. It's just been one hell of a week. And we're going to get into some of these topics because the January 6th hearings aired or it returned, you know, it was on hiatus. It returned this week and it was one of those, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, dun, dun, dun. You know, they came up with some stuff, right? came up with some stuff. There's some video that we didn't see. And I was really intrigued with the videos that we didn't see in the previous hearings. But, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they brought. And then they came to the conclusion to go ahead and subpoena the former president, Donald J. Trump. Dan, dan, dan. So we're going to get into that in a moment. But before we jump into that, I want to open up the mics to my co-host. And, of course, I'm going to open up the chat room. So if anybody's listening on the Internet, remember you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. That's www.com/TMGS. Or you can call into the show. Yes, you can, at 516-531-9861. So now that I'm using this other laptop, let me see when I go to open up Janet's mic. There she is, the lady of the house, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, Janet.
Hey, Michael. I'm laughing over my Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Yeah, you know, you were talking about the January 6th committee, and what tickled me pink was, yeah, it was a lot of dun-dun-dun moments, but the Republicans were constantly saying that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they were saying all these top people on the Democrat side wasn't doing anything. Well, the video showed they were doing a heck of a lot, more than
exactly.
the sitting president at the time.
Exactly, and you know, and that's what I found interesting, because I was like, wow, they were saying they were, you know, that they waited too late to ask for help and this and that and the other, and we see the actual video. Let me go ahead and open up some more mics before we get into that particular conversation or these certain topics, because I want to touch on a few things here, because I'm looking at something right now that just blew me away. I mean, I just turned it on, and I'm like, I can't even believe these women are still relevant, and I think you should know who I'm talking about. But let me open up the mic for another co-host, Mr. All right now, Mike. All right, Mike. Mike, come on now, Mike. Come on. That's got to be Mr. Timon Shoup. What's up, Timon?
Hey, Mike, Timon. How are you, man? I didn't know if you were going to have the show today.
Yeah, we were a little behind on schedule on posting, so I truly apologize. That's my fault.
That's all right. No. Luckily, I saw the post, and I thought, oh, well, call in there. Now, how you doing, Janet? I just got off I got off a podcast, and, you know, everything is going to lead back to Trump. And everybody wants to know, is he going to get indicted? Yes, he's going to be indicted. But everything has to, it's got to be right. You can't go
That's
on
right.
and he ain't ever been indicted. He's never been indicted in all the things that he's been involved in. And there's a list that goes, you're talking 20 years that this man's been doing dirt and getting away with stuff. And they've never
That's
had
right.
anything to stick to him. So it's time.
True.
That's right.
True. Yeah, very
He's
true.
He bit off more than what
but, okay,
he could
so,
chew.
So, but before we get into this whole thing I want to share something with you guys right now, what I'm looking at here. I never knew, I didn't realize these women are still relevant. Think about who I'm talking about. Think about them. These two women, major Trump supporters. I'm looking at them on TV right now. They don't use their real names.
You talking about
come
the
on
black
now,
woman?
Y'all. Come on now. Do I have to play the Jeopardy theme song? Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, I said the two dun, black dun, women dun, that were...
Yeah. That's them.
Oh, Diamond and Silk?
Diamond and Silk, and I'm looking at them on, I don't know what channel this is, but it's Diamond and Silk Chit Chat Live, speaking with a guy named Bruce Lavelle, which I've never heard of, but he's the former advisor to President Trump. And guess what? He's black. But here, what I found funny, if you look here in the box, it says, use promo code Trump1 at MyPillow.com to save up to 66% off. You know where that came from. What the hell? This is on Lidl TV, by the way. And they're sitting here on the left side of the screen. He's sitting there. And I'm like, wow. I didn't realize they had a show. And, I mean, I'm trying to look and see what their net worth is. Did they ever serve in any political role whatsoever?
But Mike, they all got shows now. All the Republican pundits, any of those people that were connected, you got Tatum, you got what's his name, Bellagio, whatever that guy. All of them cats making money. They're all connected to him. Anybody, you know, and they don't care that they're selling disinformation, and that's another thing that's really scary. That they're selling disinformation and people are believing them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They say you tell a lie enough, they start believing it.
Well, I mean that was his whole plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And yes, we got Latinos that are backing Trump. You got black folks. But that's, you know, that's the same reason why that Harriet Tubman carried a shotgun with him.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're going to turn back. No, you won't. You'll go back dead. So, you know, they might as well.
Wow.
They've been waiting on them. I mean, you know, nothing we can do. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're still around, you know.
Well,
There's a lot of guys.
I'm looking at them right now. I mean, this is probably recorded. Excuse for the noise in the background. But this is probably recorded. Yeah, it's just amazing that I've been trying to look and see kind of political background that they have. They're like the background singers for Diana Ross, in a sense. I'm just throwing that out there, but you know what I mean. And they still got a career. They're still out here spreading, like you said, untruth, especially when you say Trump won at my pillow. Then here's the bad thing, because I said that to segue into what we're going to get into.
Well,
we just recently saw the ninth. I'm sorry?
No, I was just letting you know they are on the franksocial.com. That's sponsored by Rick Lindell.
Okay, so as I said, that they're on this channel called Lidl TV. Well, it's a channel, but it's – anyway. But it's just comical. I just happened to come across it just before the show, and I see their faces. I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? I'm like, damn, these two clowns are still out here supporting a former president, still talking about the president. They have the former advisor, Mr. Bruce Lavelle, to the former president, and then they're doing a promo code Trump1 at MyPillow, which is the MyPillow guy. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Mike, if Candace Owens is still around, they're going to be around. They're just a dumber version of Candace Owens.
That's right.
And now she's with Kanye. She's been hanging out with Kanye.
Yeah.
You know, and doing her thing. They're all getting paid.
Yeah, I saw that
it's amazing, man, that they got this kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw that thing where her and Kanye showed up at, I believe it was one of his kids' games and had on White Lives Matter t-shirts. And that
that's from his fashion show that he did,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, and he's spreading lies. This
mm-hmm.
boy wants to open up a school, but he don't read. I hate reading. Reading is like eating Brussels sprouts. I said, shoot, I don't know if you've ever had, sautéed Brussels sprouts with garlic. Shoot, I don't know what he's talking about. That's
and balsamic vinegar.
Well, he has the money. Well, the thing is, he has the money to afford it. So, I mean, maybe he needs to expand his menu when he goes to eat. But now you guys need to accept what I was going to say. But that's okay. Go ahead.
But that's what I'm talking about. I mean, when you got people who are spreading disinformation, you got, you know, that are doing the things that they're doing. I mean, it's really a shame. You know, I'm not saying the Democrats are perfect and they're just, you know, because my thing is whoever they have in office, we still got to do what we got to do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But
correct.
They normally pick somebody who is going to be just a yes person, you know, that really don't know anything, only there to say yes, you know, and the color to say, oh, we got a black person backing me. You know, that really irks me, especially when I look at the rallies and they got a few speckles of black in the back saying black people for Trump.
Did you notice, Janet, that they always, when they do the Trump, they put the black people right behind Trump?
Mm-hmm.
The camera flash, they're right there?
Yep.
Well, that's by design, of course. That's by design, of course. So you will, because just like you said that, they want us to see that black person. They're not going to put that black person to the side or up in the crow's nest seats. Even if that person, the moment they walk in that door, they'd be like, oh, no, we got a perfect seat for you, okay? They're going to put them there, like you said, behind Donald Trump and say, hey, look, there's a black person who supports. It don't even have to be Donald Trump. Just here's a black Republican, okay? Because let's face the facts. Majority of black folks in America are Democrats. Though in the past, years back, we did vote Republican. But that changed, okay? That changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they automatically do that, and they give them a sign. Or I truly believe they give them a shirt. I don't think a black person goes and gets a shirt made saying, I support Donald Trump. I don't. They're getting that for free, that gear or that cap or whatever, for free to wear in front of the camera.
Yeah, they gave
him some
clothes. Because when he was running for re-election, he had, even when he came to Atlanta, they gave out shirts to people and money to say they were supporting Trump.
Yeah, blacks support Trump. Okay. So now as I was trying to segue, this is what I want to do, is segue into – what happened the other day in prime time, well, not prime time, but really during the hours that's normally soap opera time, right? Remember when every channel had a soap opera? Well, guess what? We had a soap opera with the January 6th committee.
I'm saying the
committee because it was the perfect time to do it during the day, you know, not in the evening because, you know, at first the Republicans – really got upset with the Democrats for doing it during prime time. Remember that? Okay, the earlier one. So they did it during what normally would be soap opera time. And people watched. A lot of folks watched. And this was the bombshell information. The videos came out of what was going on inside the Capitol with the lawmakers. And like you were saying, Janet, they were saying how Nancy Pelosi, she waited too long to do this. Now that we see video here where Nancy Pelosi was on the phone while she was trying to get the fuck out of there.
The main one that said they weren't doing anything was standing right next to him with his little American flag mask on. How did you not know they were on the phone talking to officials and governors and secretary of states and different people to help?
Well, Scalia, what's his name? Scalia, whatever it is. He's the one who said it. And that dude is just dirty. Him and McCarthy, that's what I'm talking about. They flat out lie. And that's what I'm saying. These guys are telling lies at will.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody, and now we find the truth that they didn't do that, but they don't care because they've already planted the lie.
That's right.
Okay, so
people,
then,
by the time we get around, they don't care anymore.
And then what I saw where somebody was
in
this conversation came up on another show I was listening to, and I heard a person say, well, what made that person decide to record what was going on down there? Why not? Why not record what's going on? When they were down inside the bunker. Right. Okay, I'll say it again. There was somebody who had made a comment at the fact that why did that individual who recorded what we saw, okay, of Nancy Pelosi on the phone and how they were, you know, speaking
history.
As far as getting some help, okay, somebody said, well, what makes that person, why would that person pull out their camera phone or their cell phone and start recording? Why not? You're in a freaking bunker.
You got people out there rioting, trying to kill, saying they want to kill
exactly.
certain people. You wouldn't try to record it?
Okay. Can I finish for a minute, though? But I felt like that was about the dumbest damn response or question because, as Janet just said, here's people coming in here to harm folks. Maybe not looking for you, but you could get hurt. You're running for your life. You didn't stand there inside the Capitol and wait and say, hey, I just work here. So what? And I thought that was stupid. But let's get to this one thing I want to bring up, and I'm going to open up the mic of Officer Crenshaw in just a moment. He's here standing by. But the thing that got me the most was the fact that after they showed that video and when they showed where Nancy Pelosi was on the phone, and Schumer was saying, hey, you know, she was pleading like, hey, look, you can get this down. And the thing is, I got to give Nancy Pelosi a lot of damn credit. I got to give her a lot of credit because she said, we have got to get this confirmed today. We can't wait 2 or 3 days later. This has to be done today because otherwise they would succeed.
Mm-hmm.
She said that. She says, we have to do this. She was talking about the poop on the floor and this and the other. It's an easy cleanup. And then I think she said, well, maybe not easy cleanup, but it needs to be done. We have to get this done. Vice President Pence could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. We're going to have to hold off. He could have said that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, okay, yeah.
He was fighting for his life.
I understand that, Janet, but what I'm trying to say is that where he could have done that, he could have said, nah, but he was smart enough to do the right thing. He was like, yeah.
They were trying to get him to leave the cap. They was trying to get him to get in the car and leave. He said, I trust you, but I don't trust the driver.
Exactly. Okay, let me open up the mic of, I got to bring some law enforcement in here because we're going to bring up the whole thing about the law enforcement because we have to look at the fact that the Secret Service had released some information, some documentation of some conversations that were going on. So welcome our brother, Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Sorry I'm late. Hey, Janet. Hey, Tommen. I had to take
What's
some Pepto.
What's going on there, Officer Crenshaw?
Yeah.
Hey. I had to drink some Pepto, so I'm late.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh. Now, well, okay, if you get silent, we know that Pepto is working. All right, but go ahead.
Glad to be here. I just joined, so I didn't hear anything other than you guys talking about Nancy Pelosi, who apparently had more backbone and more balls than the men that was running around in the chamber afraid they were going to get killed.
The Attorney General, the Secretary of State, she was saying, we got to get it done now, not later. You know, because I think it was already pre-planned. They said from July they were planning this. Just in case that they were going to overthrow, you know. So it wasn't something that they just thought up at the last minute.
I think it's crazy that 2 weeks before all this went down, the Secret Service was already told and they didn't.
Correct. Correct. But who controls the Secret Service? The President of the United States. Thank you. The President of the United States has control. He knew what was going
down. That's why they deleted the tapes. I mean, the text messages.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, this dude, let me tell you something. I don't know how y'all feel, but you got to know that this man had all of this stuff set up. He shut it down, and it was all a smokescreen so he could get those documents out of the White House and to Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm.
It was all a smokescreen. The dude had already on taking it down.
Well, yeah, that's possible too. But before we get into that whole thing of because there's still stuff that I think that is still missing, according to things that I've read and looked at. But
they're still missing.
I have really two questions here. But the thing is that because I'm thinking, so you guys please let me finish thinking. But after what has happened with this last, should be the last hearing, unless Donald Trump does come and he's like nonchalantly saying like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll entertain the thought of coming to a hearing, but which we know that's not going to happen. But with what just occurred, do you think that Garland will have the balls enough to try to prosecute the former president?
He's going to get indicted, Mike.
Right.
Okay.
And not only that, Trump already said he would come, but he wanted to be televised. And they know for a fact when it's a president, it's not televised. He wants to put on a circus, a show.
So basically, he wants to do what he's always done, is that change the rules.
Mm-hmm.
In his favor. He wants to change it. Because just like the document.
That's why they've been quiet. Mm-hmm. They've been very quiet. Okay.
I think what they're doing is that they're buying time.
That's why the 11th Circuit Court, that woman down in Florida, they're going to get her too.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court knocked it down. They kicked it back. The Supreme Court, with his ace in the hole that he thought was going to be in his favor, kicked it back.
Okay, so hold on before anybody responds. And I don't blame them. You know why? Because if I'm a Democrat or a Republican, if I got a job that is forever, I'm not going to jeopardize it whatsoever for no one man. Okay? It's like, look, you stirred this damn pot. You ain't president anymore. Kick rocks, Donald. Let me move on with my life, with my cush-ass job, and keep being a Supreme Court justice. I am the law of the land. I don't blame it. They're trying to get away from it. Exactly. Good move, Supreme Court justice. And now you don't got a sister up in there, and she going to be like looking at them. She ain't got to open up her mouth, I think. She probably doesn't look at them like, really? Mm-mm.
Well, actually, that was handled by Thomas. So that Thomas, anything by this, the 11th Circuit Court, Thomas would handle the appeal that Trump didn't put through. But he knows that he can't put anything through because he knows where he's going.
Right. Okay.
Because Thomas is already in trouble. Okay, and that's why Merrick Garland is taking his time. You got everything, but even if they dissolve the January 6th committee, everything is going to go to the DOJ. Everything in New York
has to, right,
is going
exactly.
to the DOJ. Everything
right.
over
and
in
that,
Georgia
and that was,
is going to the DOJ.
Thank you, and that's the whole thing that I was saying, and you just answered my question. Because the things that where it can't just be not followed up on. It has to be where, because of course, Cheney, she's not going to be there next term, but she's on that committee, and they threw their last ball into the court. So now that they all agreed, not just Democrats, and that's another thing that gets me, is that many said that, well, no Republican was there to defend or speak. You had Republicans on this committee. You wanted it by your rules. Okay, yeah, two, right, okay. But, and they were in favor, or better yet, I will say favor, they believed that a crime was committed to the American public. And it blows my mind that the American public is looking at them like traitors, and like, whoa, wait a minute, they're upholding the fucking law. I'm trying to understand this. I'm really trying to understand it. If anybody that's a, you know, a Donald Trump, you know, supporter or whatever, you're welcome to chime in or go to the, you know, to the chat room and explain why you guys turn back or turncoat on your own party when all they're doing is following the law. Can't do certain things. You can't take documents out of the White House and take it to your personal residence. You just can't. Let alone many other things. And this is the only president, and I'm trying to get an explanation from somebody. Why is this the only president who has so much baggage before and after allegedly serving the country? Such a great relationship with Vladimir Putin and the leader of North Korea. Just like, hey, we fell in love. We fell in love. Yes, yes, we did. You know he said that, right? I'm just trying to get an understanding. And now you want to put a black man, let's get back to this. You want to put a former college pro football player.
He didn't graduate.
Who has a lot of allegations against him. You want to put him.
Valedictorian.
Oh, it, right.
Yeah, and
right,
he
right.
didn't do any of that. He right. just told a bunch of lies. He didn't graduate.
And he left the IH.
Hold on. Graduated from the head of his class, worked here with Cobb County. Look, I live in Cobb County, and trust me and believe, I know quite a few folks in law enforcement in Cobb County, and we talk. Yeah, I go beyond entertainment.
He flashed that phony badge during the debate, and he knew he wasn't supposed to put any props out there. And the look on his face when I just saw a tweet saying, who would take a phony badge to a debate? I said, Herschel Walker.
Don't worry, that sister lit his ass up. That sister jumped deep in his behind and said, Mr. Walker, you put that badge where I told you, no props.
We do have a person who's worked in law enforcement on the show. So, Officer Crenshaw, isn't that possibly a criminal offense?
It's a touchy situation. Yes and no. If he had actually worked with some law enforcement agency in some capacity, not so much as a law enforcement officer, and someone gave him a badge as a souvenir, like during the Olympics, everybody was swapping out badges, you know,
right.
Then he's entitled to have that as a keepsake, not to carry around and flash. The problem with it, though, is he got caught in his words when he said, I am working with a lot of law enforcement. He was going to say,
okay,
I am a police officer. But he got caught in his words and said, working with. So they have to find out exactly who he was working with, what department, who gave him that.
Right.
Because
right.
you can flip a badge and say, I'm the police. But until you start trying to enforce the authorities of a law enforcement officer, it's not a lot they can do to you. Now, it's a double-edged sword, because if he had flipped the badge and said, I'm FBI, they would have swooped his ass off the stage.
He did say he was working with the FBI, but not on that stage, but he said it before, not during the debate, but he has said it.
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
He just made the statement he had worked with the FBI, which...
But he did not
He might have decided to do a voluntary service, go with them on a search warrant to see how things go, and he's looking at his one-time appearance with them as, oh, I work with them, whatever law enforcement agency it was, you know. But
he
for him to walk around and carry a badge now.
You know
I'm with the FBI.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No, but hold on, Jerry. I want to hear the whole gist of what Officer Crenshaw is explaining, and then I'll let you chime in. Let me hear the whole thing that he's saying here. So you're saying that where if he was working with the FBI at that particular time, right, allegedly we're saying, and he says, I'm working with the FBI at a particular time, he's within his rights to say that. But during this debate, when he flashed that badge, which I'm curious, was that really a badge? Was that a prop? Because I think that if I recall that the moderator said, you already know the rules. You cannot bring any props on stage. So he really screwed the hell up right there. He already knew you can't bring no props. You can't bring no easel on the stage and no boards and, you know, diagrams and crap like that, right? He knew that. So he violated that. That's not a felony, but still, again, I have to go back and listen to what he said. Did he say, I work with or I have worked with? And it's already been said that Cobb County says we have no record of Herschel Walker working in any capacity in law enforcement.
Right. So you got to look at the whole gist of everything, Mike. What he said was, I am working law enforcement. Basically, I am working with a lot of law enforcement. But he got caught when he said, I am, and changed it, working with law enforcement. Because he was going to say, I am law enforcement. I am police.
Right.
But he got caught.
I'm working with. So in other words, he's a CI.
He could be.
Isn't that the term? But what I'm asking you, isn't that a term?
Yeah. Confidential informant.
Confidential informant. Right. He's a CI. He's a confidential informant.
Right. He might have been the one who told the FBI about Trump and Mar-a-Lago. They don't know.
Okay. Right. He's a CI.
Right.
That's it.
So
he's not a sworn in police
for him
officer.
To have that, you got to look at the logistics of everything. They screen them before they let them go on stage. They screen them. So they already knew that was a prop. They had already saw that. He wasn't supposed to pull it out, take it up on stage. It's not a real badge. Some sheriff departments have badges that look like that, but that was not a real badge.
Okay. Janet, I think you wanted to chime in on that part of it. I just want to hear what Officer Crenshaw had to say, because he worked in law enforcement, and I'm pretty sure he saw what was going on. And what's, you know, I mean, how did he get away with that? How is he still getting away with a lot of things? And then we're going to get into his bull story, because with all the allegations of his whole thing of paying off an abortion and everything, and from a former girlfriend, and she has a. We'll get into that, but Janet, you had the mic. You want to follow up on what Officer Crenshaw just said regarding the badge?
No, it was just an honorary badge. It wasn't the real deal. But he has said more than one time that he was part of the FBI, not that he worked for them. He said he was. He said, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't have told you that." You know, but it's been proven. I've looked at a lot of articles where it says he never was part of the police or the FBI. It's not true.
Okay. So my question here is, how is, I mean, when you look at the polls, which I don't really, you know, believe every poll, but I look at different polls and everything, and this is just really what Georgia, but see, here's the problem. Georgia will be the swing state, right, when the election time comes, as far as how the Senate makeup is. You notice Oshkoff is not worried, in a sense. You don't hear nothing. You're hearing about these two black men, one that is a pastor and one that's a former football star, going head-to-head. And the puppeteers are these individuals who have been in the system for years, most of them, and they're actually trying to push Herschel Walker on us. I find that, and when you look at the fact that a lot of the stuff that happened with Herschel Walker is not allegations, it is definitely documented. It's documented stuff. It's there. I'm trying to understand why folks, you will give Herschel Walker a pass to run or be in the Senate. You give him a pass. Well, he's threatened his wife to kill her, which is murder. He has said that he thought about killing a certain individual one time. It's documented and recorded. He said, yeah, I would have killed him. But you got folks behind bars that sold a little bit of weed for years. But you want to put a person who he didn't commit the crime, but he thought about it. So what about when if he does win? What is
Michael, they only want a yes person. They just want somebody to vote.
I understand that, Janet. I understand that. They want to be the puppet. They want him to be the puppet for the black community.
No, for the white community.
Vote for him. Well, no. He's a black face.
Mm-hmm, for the white community.
Okay. Let me see what Tynan thinks about this. Now, Tynan, this has nothing to do with where you live, but this is very serious here in Georgia now. What's your thoughts about it, or have you been keeping up on it? I'm pretty sure you've heard about this fiasco that's going on down here. And by the way, the bull story. Janet, I'm going to let you share that whole thing that he did because you told me about that. I didn't have a chance to see the whole thing. But, Ty, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think time has stepped away. So, Janet, Herschel Walker was at an event.
A rally.
And he had a rally. Well, I just called it an event. But anyway, he went to telling this story about bulls on a hill. And who was there? Tom Scott, right?
Yeah.
And one other, yeah. Okay. And he
right.
was telling the story. Can you share with us what that whole story was about?
Well, they came there to help support him. And instead of him doing what he should have been doing at the rally, he decided to tell the story. Even though the news was saying about how he wasn't taking care of children, he had this woman get her an abortion, tried to get her to do a second one, and she refused. So he tells this story about the bull in the pen with three pregnant cows. He wasn't interested in those cows. He was looking at these other three cows up on the hill, he said. And so he said the bull got up enough nerve, and he decided he was going to go get those three cows. So he jumped the fence, caped up his belly and everything, but that didn't stop him. He kept going. He got up to the top of the hill, and he found out those three cows was nothing but three bulls. The two senators was in back looking like, what the hell? And I would have been doing the same thing because he it was like he came out from nowhere. Everybody was shocked over that story. So that's all they talked about all week long.
You know what the moral of that story appears to be, Janet?
Yeah. So that was Tom Cotton and Rick Scott was the one there to support him during a rally.
Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Brokeback Mountain. Okay. Brokeback Mountain.
Watch out
go
now.
Get
watch, out
some
now.
Bull.
Watch out now. Watch out. You crossing that line.
You crossing that line. But, you know, why would you, I mean, here's the story about you. First of all, you're saying that where you don't believe in abortion,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, okay? Second, you're saying, well, I don't know the woman who's making these claims, but you have a child
mm-hmm.
by this woman who's making the claims. You got to know her. And now one of your sons, who I think has a little sugar in his coffee, okay, when I seen this video.
Oh, he is.
Got a little sugar
on.
In his coffee. Okay, so I'm being nice. I'm being nice. Saying what he's saying about you. I mean, at some point, you cannot continue to fool and lie to the American public, which that's what we think. Unfortunately, you can, and they buy your story, because even though Warnock is ahead, is a slim margin, because it's not about the Republicans and Democrats; it's the undecided voters at this point, right? You're trying to get people who are undecided to come to your side and vote for you. That's
but,
the thing
know, Mike,
I question.
It's but Mike,
sad
you know
to
what?
Think that. Go on.
I was going to say just that the Republican Party used to be the party of morals and values, of law and order. Now you're talking about defund the FBI and get rid of this and that. And now you don't care if somebody's committed all kinds of tragedies
mm-hmm.
and. He's abusive. You don't care about all that.
Crimes.
That stuff used to be.
Crimes.
It would get
yeah.
you in all kinds of trouble. And now mm-hmm. everything is all right. You could be you. Shoot, Jeffrey Dahmer probably could have ran for office now.
Right.
Because
what's really sad is for them to think that because he's a black person, blacks going to rally around him and vote for him. You know, he kept saying 96% of the time Warnock voted with Biden. 100% of the time, the Republicans in lockstep vote with the Republicans.
But guess what,
Janet? You are definitely right. But here's the thing. You're definitely right about that. But here's the thing that when I talk to people, which I do a lot, I talk about our show. I talk about, you know, folks say, what do you guys talk about? And I'm like, well, we cover the gamut. We talk politics and this, that, and the other. You know, we're not a political show. You know, we're not. But that's what's happening. That's what's in the atmosphere right now as the midterm elections come up. That's what's really important right now. The presidency, you know, as far as voting for a president, to me, is not really that important. It's the midterms. It's the lawmakers. The president has to deal with who the fuck is making the laws. Excuse me. I know I don't cuss much, but hold on. I'm almost done.
I heard you, Mike.
Hold on. I'm almost done. Let me finish. The midterms. When it comes to your senators, and everything in your area, that's what's important. That's what the president has to work with. Who you put in office where you live, in your state. That is his chessboard. Go ahead, Officer Crenshaw.
I just, for all the people who planning on voting, I just want to put something in their head. Herschel Walker said he was for the state of Georgia. How can you be for all the people, 7 million people in the state of Georgia, when you're not taking care of your children, your blood children? You're not taking care of them. You're not providing for them. You're not doing for them. And on top of that, you have a son that's gay. You're supposed to love your child no matter what. Be a father to your child. But yet and still you're trying to pass laws that's going to alienate your child. That makes no sense. You want to be in a position to where QAnon and all of those other entities have more say-so than your actual son has. Yeah. Why would you do that? Why would you do that to your son? And that's one reason why his son is really starting to speak out.
Right.
Now, the woman he had the baby with and the abortion, you know, either he's slinging a lot of PD and don't know who he's got children by, or he's just stupid.
And then also look at the fact that, well I have to say that I'm not going to say it's a fact, but from my understanding, Herschel Walker didn't live in Georgia recently until this whole idea of him running for office, and he came back to Georgia. I think he lived in Texas or somewhere else. He hasn't lived in.
Yeah, he was in Texas. He was in Texas, but, you know, Trump brought him back because Trump was the owner of the New Jersey Generals, which is when he left college, he went to go play for the New Jersey Generals.
Okay. So he came back here and now running for office here. But out of all the people you could pick to run for Senate for the state of Georgia, why would you pick a person like Herschel Walker who already had baggage? He already had that baggage. It was already documented. Why? I'm trying to understand the Republican game plan. And there are Republicans who are like, no, I'm not going to back him. You all, I mean, I'm sure some of you all have seen it if you follow it. They're like, no, I can't do it. That's one bad thing, too, for the Republican Party. That where you bringing in a guy. Go ahead, Janet.
Can I say something? They only want somebody who's going to be a yes person, just like when Michael Steele first was over the RNC, and as long as he went along to get along, it was fine. But the minute he started questioning, where is he at now? A contributor on MSNBC. You know, they just want somebody to just say yes.
Well, you know, also,
well, this is a very interesting thing, because here's the thing I have to say is that where – this is one of those moments that we have to say, okay, go ahead, Simon.
What I was going to say is that, you know, when Herschel was going after, you know, Warnock and saying that he voted with Biden, it's like, dude, you say you're voting for your friend, and you're voting for a friend that's going to be indicted. This man has felony charges against him.
Wow, yeah, that's true.
This guy, I mean, that's my thing. All he had to say, you know, cause, you know, Raphael don't want to get into no deal with this, shouting match with this guy. But what he needs to pay attention, what he should have said to him when he brought up you voting with Biden, say, man, you voting with a dude who is definitely, who should be indicted. He is going to jail.
Okay, so what you saying that though? I want to ask you about this, because now when I'm looking at here in Georgia, because you guys are not seeing the same thing that I'm seeing here. For you guys that live on the West Coast or whatever, the advertisements, of course, are going to be here in Georgia. But now what the Walker camp has been doing, they recently brought up
a video of where Warnock's ex-wife, of the video of where he allegedly, and I use that term, you know, because it was alleged, he was never convicted of it, ran over her foot. It was a big deal here, okay, when he was running for Senate, and he spoke on it and everything. All right. So now Walker's camp is really flooding the airways. Janet, I'm sure you've seen this here, of where they're showing her crying and everything. Then he backed the car up on my foot. They said that at the time when the officers got there and the paramedics, they examined her foot. If a vehicle runs over your foot, there's got to be something.
They didn't see anything.
They didn't see nothing, right? There's got to be some kind of bruising or whatever, because you're talking about a heavy vehicle, right? Nothing at all. So now the Walker kid is pushing this. The Walker supporters probably don't know to look and see what was the outcome of it. The outcome was there was no damage to her, so we can't say that actually happened, because we examined her foot and we don't see any bruising.
If a car ran over your foot, it would have been smashed.
True enough, to a certain extent, depending on the vehicle size and the weight of it. But my point is this, is that where even after the fact of where, why would you put this out here? And anybody with any common sense can investigate and see that, well, there was no proof showing she was really injured. You follow me? But people are going by they see and hear as far as what this camp is saying happened. And he was not indicted. He was not arrested for bodily injury to his ex, keep in mind, ex-wife. There was no evidence that he did it. That just came out of her mouth.
That was one of the things that Trump was very good at, telling people you saw it with your own eyes. Irregardless of what the story was, what the details were, because most people see something and they stop listening to the words that are being spoken. They're focused on what their eyes see. And then they make up in their own mind, or they hear it later on down the road, what somebody else said about it.
Right.
And that's why they're doing that. Most people looking at the TV just see her crying, and then they see the big bold words going across about Raphael Warnock. Same thing with Herschel Walker. They see his wife talking about, he said he was going to put a gun to my head and blow my brains out. But they haven't brought out the outcome of all those cases. Did she drop the charges against her husband?
Thank you. Hello. Yes. Thank you.
But he even said he put a gun to her head.
Right.
No. Hold on, everybody. Please. What you just said is very important. What Officer Crenshaw said was very important, because the allegations were put out there, but there was never a follow-up. Officer Crenshaw, I commend you on that. Because, see, people only heard that story, what allegedly happened. But after the investigation, no one ever took the time to find out what the final outcome was. You're right.
Well, is the final outcome of him on TV saying he put a gun to her head is not proof enough?
No.
Janet. It is proof, but if she went to court and said, I don't want to prosecute, then it really never existed.
No, and the thing is, Jen, is that where I'm speaking on the fact of Warnock's wife, what she said, which is videotape of where he ran over her foot. I want to go back to that.
You were talking about Herschel Walker with the gun.
No, hold on.
To
Janet,
the head
Janet,
from the wife.
Janet, hold on a minute. I'm talking about
both. I heard the whole thing.
Janet, I'm talking about, please let me speak. I'm talking about both situations, the allegations that Warnock ran over his foot, his wife's foot, and the allegation of Walker's ex-wife saying that he put a gun to her head. It's still a crime. Okay. The point I'm saying is that where these were allegations in Walker's situation, it was documented, found to be where there's audio of him even speaking of his thoughts of doing certain things. Now, unfortunately, people are buying into the fact that, well, he's an ex-football player, you know, he's got hit and everything, but he changed. He's a different person now. I've heard that shit, okay? But with Warnock and his wife and allegedly running over her foot, as we already talked about, which we're not going to talk about again, of where it's obvious there's no way he could have ran over her foot. That's all I'm saying. There's a lot of stuff, especially during election time, people will try to flood misinformation, as Officer Crenshaw just said, because people don't read and they don't investigate. And as you well know, that when we talk about certain topics here on the show, that where when it's still open, we are going to follow up on it, and we're going to see what the outcome is. Officer Crenshaw, I commend you for the fact that we do follow up on the outcome. I'm sure a lot of folks don't even think about the shooting in Florida, Parkland High School. Y'all know about the verdict of that kid who killed all those other kids? Do y'all know the verdict?
Yeah. Life in prison.
He wasn't given the death sentence. He was given life in prison. And the family ain't happy. They're not happy with it. They wanted this kid to die. Think about that. Because when you look at his video, he planned and plotted.
Well, he planned and plotted, and he also stated that if his gun wouldn't have jammed and he had more ammo, he would have killed many, many more.
Correct. Hello. He would have killed many, many more. And where were those other many, many more? Somebody down the street? Another location he already planned that we don't know about? What would he have done if his gun didn't jam? Right. Officer Crenshaw, you're on point. You're following what I'm talking about here. And just recently, there was a murder of 5 family members in North Carolina, a 15-year-old in camouflage. He's wearing camouflage. But you know what? They arrested him. He didn't have a gun battle. He gave up to save his life after taking 5 other lives. So my whole thing is this, that where, as we keep going on, is that where we have to really think about what's going on with our society here. What the fuck is really going on here? Are we always going to say, oh, he's got mental problems and everything? No, he's just a killer. And if we take him alive, when it goes to court and he's found guilty, he should serve the same sentence that other individuals get, which is death
in my opinion. Now, I have to say this. I don't believe in murder. But I don't think, I truly think that if we always say that we're our laws and we're going to follow our laws, then follow your laws. Don't put somebody to death that, you know, made a mistake, meaning a person who's robbing a store and the store owner shoots at them, they shoot back. It was a mistake to rob that store. Life in prison, I think so. But when you plan to murder folks, oh, no. You need to get the death penalty based on our laws. That's my thought. You a robber? Okay. You killed somebody. You're going to get life. But if you are a individual that plan to murder people for no reason, individuals that had nothing to do with you, according to the laws of the United States of America, you should get the death penalty. Anybody want to disagree? Go ahead. Don't get quiet on me now, y'all.
No, if it was malice intent, then you should get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was involuntary
or
accidental, then I could see. You know, but everybody, just like Herschel Walker, you know, yes, everyone knows I suffered with mental illness. But I've been saved now. You know,
doesn't change your mental illness.
Back on that.
Right. But it doesn't change your mental illness. Correct. Yeah. I mean, if that was his mental illness at that time, that when he threatened his wife and put a gun to her head and other things and the allegations. And, you know, I find it interesting. Here we have a president, as which was already mentioned, was dealing with a lot of different allegations of criminal activity, being subpoenaed and this, that, the other, and being investigated. Here we have an individual who is running for the Senate seat, who has a lot of more so issues that he has to deal with, and did horribly at the debate. It was horrible on his end. He broke the rule, right? He was chastised for breaking a rule, but people are going to still support him. What makes those folks who believe in him to be a senator for the state of Georgia to not believe that he would also do the same thing, break a rule, make a false promise to his constituents? I mean, what makes them think that this is the right candidate for us? That's my question. Everybody's quiet all
somebody. Well, I hear something in the background saying Trump.
Okay.
The only reason.
Okay. So this is another Jim Jones situation, in my opinion. They don't drink the Kool-Aid, which we already said that before. And obviously, this Kool-Aid has an aftertaste. Trump has left office. This Kool-Aid that they're drinking has an aftertaste. Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
Because they're still looking. What Trump created is something that is not American or what America is. It's not. You do not attack American government and try to overthrow it. You don't do that. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people in this country who believe that's the only way to deal with this government. But they still say, this is my country. No, it ain't. You stole the fucking country many years ago. Much of...
If they have it their way and say this is their country and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and all them guys want to take it over and run with it, as soon as Trump gets his way and he asks Putin for another favor, do they actually think they're going to be standing right up there with Trump? No. Putin's going to have every American basically enslaved. Because he already said he
It will be, I might be going out on a limb, but it will be another thing with the Jews, allegedly, what happened with the Jews. I'm not going to speak on that because I'm not saying that that's false or anything, but it's just where they'll be like, you know, like a lot of folks say that America should not be involved in this war. We should not be... supplying Ukraine with weapons. You got to really do some research and look at why we do this and why it's important. I would think that many presidents would say, oh, no, we have to, because you have to look at the territory, the area. If we give up the fact that, you know, we have some connection with them and everything, that's giving other countries more control and more of those areas, more control of those areas to build, take over, and probably be more harm to other to our other allies if they have that region, right? It's common sense. If we let somebody else that is our enemy get closer to what we are trying to protect, then we're fucked. And people don't look at that. That's the sadness of it.
Well, the real sadness of it is that we're too busy trying to be like all the other countries. We want to be French. You know, we want to go there because it's extravagant. You know, they speak a nice language. You know, the men and women are sexy. We want to be over there. We want to be in Britain. You know, hell, we need to be grateful for what we have, for who we are.
Well, and you know what? I kind of understand what you're saying, because that is very true to a certain extent. You're definitely right. But see, here's the sad thing about it, is that where America, when they say make America great again, which that's, you know, the that's the whole thing that the Trump era is about, make America great again. Well, America could be great if America was not a greedy country. America has outsourced so many jobs before Donald Trump, okay? Before Donald Trump. America has always done things for the greed of the 1%. Think about this, and that's another thing I think we need to talk about on another show. Think about the 1%. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the fact that, which I already said, the stimulus checks were just a loan, okay? It wasn't a gift. It was a loan. You're paying that shit back right now. With higher gas prices and food, you're paying that shit back right now. As the 1% or the corporate companies are making record profits, and even where I work, the cost of certain items have gone up, some items, not just 50 cents, some have gone up $6, $7. but you got to have it. You can't say no. Now you're thinking, damn, that shit was $40 last week. Now it's $46? Yep. Damn, the hell is going on? I had a guy come to me and say, well, I know why. It's the president. It ain't the president. It's the company. The president did not make a phone call and say, hey, you guys, raise your prices. No, the company decided to raise the prices. That's who is raising the prices as they
that's
make.
That's why we're screwed now because, you know, we're getting our oil and everything from across the waters because
mm-hmm.
they don't want to pay fair market price for the oil here. You know, they'd rather pay someone else across the waters fair market price and then screw us here as Americans and try to give us less. Because they want it's just the greed factor kicking in. You know, they don't want the little man who's actually doing the work to make any money. You know, the small businesses, you know, before we buy from the small business, we'll go cross the waters, we'll get dependent on them, and we'll pay them 50 cents less than what you were asking for.
Okay.
And before you know it, our microchips, our transistors, our diodes, everything is coming from across the damn water instead of here because you didn't want to pay the small businessman here to make them.
Okay. Right. I get it. Janet, you want to respond to that?
I gave Janet my bottle of Pepto.
Okay. No, but it is interesting. It's very interesting of how, as I said, that where, you know, everybody was so happy about the stimulus checks and this, that, and the other. You got, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, whatever. But you're paying that shit back and even more right now. You really are.
And that's crazy because that was our own money.
Yeah.
That was our own.
It really was.
They loaned us our own money and making us pay it back with consequences.
Well, you just said the key thing. They loaned it to us. They didn't give us. Look, the government's not going to give you nothing. They're not going to give you anything. In fact, the government borrows from you. Common sense says this, is that where when you pay in the taxes and then at the end of the year, the government gives you back money. It's money that you loan them, right? They take out
right.
of your check. They use that money. They grow interest off of it. They do what they have to do with it. Then they'd be like, hey, you know what? We owe you some money back, but they're not going to give you back what they took or the interest rate that they got off of it. Okay.
I want to say
the government is
finished.
Okay. So the government, you know, again, it's a borrow and loan situation.
Mm-mm.
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I want to talk about the oil, OPEC, and the reason why they cut back. That was to help Russia, Putin. They're supposed to be our ally. We protect them with our military because they can't defend
right.
themselves. And they really don't want to know what to do with the weapons and the planes and stuff that they really get from America. But they were trying to fight Biden by cutting back on the oil, knowing it was going to hurt, not just it's not going to really hurt America as much as it's going to hurt the other European countries. But he did that purposely
right.
to help Putin.
Okay. Interesting point.
No, I mean, it's the truth.
I agree.
No, I said that's an interesting point that you brought. And I've always wondered, you know, how come, because I looked it up, I look at what oil, how much oil is so important, not just America. And I wish folks would stop thinking, America, we got to defend America, you know, the oil and the oil companies and everything, you know, needs to stop. That's people who don't understand how the world market works and look at the fact that where, yeah, a lot of products worldwide is derived from what? Oil. Correct?
So they did this so that Russia could raise the prices.
Mm-hmm. It's due to oil. Because
they got sanctions on them, so you figure if you can't get it one way, he'll get it another, you know?
Right. And when we speak of oil, there's different types of oils. There's crude oil, there's, you know, but I looked it up and I saw where so many products. I'm sorry? What did you say?
Nothing. I'm just being silly. I said there's baby oil.
But yeah. I mean, there's petroleum, there's baby oil, gasoline, things that we take for granted. Well, and also, even when you look at when you look at like your totes, okay, your storage bins and everything, they're made from oil. It's got to be oil involved. The simplest things that might cost you $2-3 in the store might have went up $5-6 now, because there has to be an oil product in it.
Now I know why Herschel Walker was thinking about the bulls on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know that old story about, well, there's another story too about the bulls, right? Where the baby bull says to the daddy bull, "Hey, Dad, let's run down this hill and screw all those cows." And Dad said, "No, son. No, screw one of those cows," is what the baby bull said. And the dad said, "No, son, let's walk down the hill and screw them all." And that's what's happening. So that was a joke, by the way. Anyway, but back to the whole thing of oil. I apologize for the cough. It's just where we were loaned some money. Now we're paying that money back, as I said, and even more than what we were loaned. More than what we were loaned. Gas prices are kind of going down, but food costs is going up. It's going up. And
Michael, for the 4 years that Trump was in office, the 4 years they were in office, they weren't really doing anything but raising prices. Inflation was already in the making.
In motion. It was in motion.
Before Biden got in office.
Right. It was in motion. And I thank you for saying that, because here's the thing that people feel like the moment a president goes into office that everything's going to change, right? Just like with Obama. They thought, oh, yeah, Obama's going to change everything overnight. That don't happen. Shit that happens in one administration is going to be passed down to the next one. Well, what happens is this, is that when, after a certain amount of time, if that administration, within maybe, I'll give it 2 years, the president serves four years in a term. After 2 years, then I feel like a president should have an understanding. You know, there was a conversation I had with a friend of mine. And we were like, yeah, could you imagine being the president of the United States and then now you've shared all this information that no one else in the world knows other than the people that's sharing it with you, right? So it was definitely going to happen, especially with the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, which the former president of all didn't even acknowledge it and said, oh, it's just something that's going to go away. Didn't take it seriously. Didn't take it serious at all. Right? He didn't.
Right.
He called it, okay, so the difference between a pandemic and an epidemic epidemic is local. Pandemic is everywhere. This was world freaking wide. This is not something that just happened in the United States. And the ignorance of us here in the U.S., not saying you guys, but is that we just think about what happens here. I get that. You have to understand that if it's an emergency, if it's something serious that is being an effect throughout the world, you got to look at it. This is real. There are folks who are saying, I didn't believe in that pandemic. That's bullshit. Well, it killed a lot of people worldwide. Now you look at all these conspiracy theories of where, well, this was all put together by the world leaders. I'm hearing that shit. Well, damn it, you voted them in, so that's your fault. You understand my point? Which way are you going to go with this? Are you going to say that this is something that just happened in America, and America's doing this and the other, and our government here? Or are you going to look at it where this is a thing that was just created by the world leaders to make the whole world be in fear? What
Can
story
I say something
with?
Else?
Sure.
The first year and a half that Biden was in office, he had two Democrats against him, Sinema and Manchin. And so after they finally got a clue, because people were saying they were going to vote them out, they decided to vote for something. Biden still has done more than the average Trump person in 4 years. Within maybe 6 months, he has did more than what Trump did in 4 years. People don't look at
okay.
that. They're only looking at, oh, inflation. How did we get there? Because we have a party that always want to spend when they're in office and choke out the middle person and the less fortunate. Give it to the rich. Take it from the poor. Then you get somebody that
that's going to help the
middle class and the less fortunate. And they don't like that because they're not. It's not fattening their pockets.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. Okay. And I heard what you said, you know, but it's always been a thing. You know, if you go back to the administration of even Reagan, where they had the trickle-down economics, trickle-down. If we give corporations a tax break, it will trickle down.
Mm-hmm.
No, hold on. It will trickle down to the middle class if we give the rich, right, a tax break. But that never worked. It never trickled down. Obviously, if you look at the way things are now, it's still not working with the trickle-down economics plan. Because companies are now outsourcing jobs, meaning from an operator on the phone, I call a company or I respond or whatever, it's sent overseas. That job probably would have paid me, if it was here, $15 an hour. But now it's overseas where they make maybe $5 an hour. Look at, which I already mentioned this before, Janet, look at Green Giant, vegetable producer, canned goods, frozen goods, this and the other. Shut down here, many of their plants, and now they're overseas. Across the border, which is called Green Pos Verde or Green Verde. That job was probably maybe $12 an hour here, but they're getting labor in Mexico, and you can look it up. What? In American dollars, it's like around $5 an hour. So when corporations like this, again, and I see that somebody jumped into the chat room I have never seen before.
Yeah, they made us
Leo,
a producer instead of being
Hold on a minute. DeLeo said, what the hell did Biden do? Well, I'm not going to answer your question because things that I'm just meeting you, but you're welcome to join the conversation. You can go ahead and type in whatever you want to do. and I'll see what I want to read. But my whole thing is this. How the hell do these companies have record profits is what I'm trying to understand. How do we have record profits? And you're spending more money for the products that they're having record profits from. How is that possible? Why is that possible? Profits. Record profits. To make a profit is fine. I'm not against that. But when you put the word record profits, that means so you choose to raise the price astronomically to make even more money than what you made before, while the American public is struggling to just buy normal goods from your company. Explain that. And Tulio, because you don't know, I'm not understanding what your questioning is here. So please try to please do your best. Try to enlighten me of what your questioning is here. Okay, Janet, I'm sorry. And then I see that Bring It Boy is on the board. Has joined the conversation. Hello, Bring It Boy. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you. Let's see. Okay, so the chat room is opening up more. Folks are listening. But back to what I just said. Don't you find that kind of crazy that companies are making record profits as you are spending more money? There's more money in their pockets while you're putting out more money from yours. Does that add up? Can anybody answer that? Don't everybody speak at once.
Can you
repeat
that?
Well, I mean, prices went up on everything. And they're just taking advantage of it, you know, so they are making record profits off of us.
That's what I just said, yeah.
That's one reason why the Republicans and some Democrats don't want to tax those corporations and the wealthy, because they have part ownership or some type of ties with them.
Well, Bring It Boy just posted and said government bailout. Help. That's true. Now, don't blame Biden for the government bailouts all the time. There's always been government bailouts over many years for certain situations. But in this situation, you know, at what point does the government say, hey, look, we're not going to help these companies? And by the way, I don't know if you guys heard the story about what had occurred with the former quarterback Brett Favre, where he got a little bit of help from the government, but we'll get into that topic next week. Okay, we'll get into that. This is a millionaire, you know, who's getting money and took advantage of a government bailout and everything. But we got to start paying attention to what our government does. Our lawmakers, everything, we have to start paying attention and questioning it. Am I right or wrong?
Well, we don't pay attention until it directly affects us, like gas prices and food prices. Then we want to get involved and raise a little cane and sane, you know, because everything is so expensive. If we got more involved from the beginning, you know, with our congressmen and our senators, you know, then we actually have a right to speak. But until then, the majority of us who don't really get involved, we just need to shut the hell up and pay attention more so we can get involved.
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, Brett Favre didn't get help. That was, as far as I'm concerned, it was stealing. When you take money that's supposed to be for welfare recipients and Medicaid, and you build a soccer place for your, because your daughter goes to that school, and you know the money was being filtered to you that was not right. If he was so rich, he should have put the money up himself instead of taking it from people who need it. They got a case with the water being so bad in Mississippi. The money should have went there. Instead of building a soccer stadium, worried about somebody going to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he now, got help.
We are definitely. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I read the story and everything, and I really wanted to bring that into the conversation this week, but I figure we'll wait and do that next week on the show and look at how easy it was done. But now, I mean, this has been going on for a while. I don't want to switch gears into that story yet, but we'll get to that next week because he's not the only one. There's other individuals that have been doing the same practice. Many individuals. Your tax dollars. And to be honest, you guys, I mean, I sit back and I listen and I read stuff, Janet shares stuff, and I look into it and I'm like, wow. This shit really goes on every day, and we just don't pay attention, and we complain about prices of this and that and other. Look at where your money's going. And question individuals. Look at these assholes who are running for senators and this and that and the other, and I mean all of them. And all they're doing is fighting against each other, and you're watching a fucking soap opera, throwing dirt on each other. Well, granted, if it's true or not, so what? What the fuck are you going to do for the community? Oh, you did that? You you accused of that? No, I don't trust you. I don't think that you can be a representative for my community or my state. You know, you don't have my best interest, right? But when it comes time for us to make a vote, you notice everybody is about mudslinging and everything. That's it. You're not talking about the issues. None of them. Seriously. We have been brainwashed, not by one particular party, but just by the entire system. We look at it as a soap opera of who can throw who in the dirt or throw more dirt than the other. And that's what we follow. We do. There has been nothing really said about, granted, many of the incumbents will say, you know my record. I've done this. I've done that. Some folks agree with them. Some folks are like, yeah, I'll put them back in office, yeah, because they've done this, done that. But my whole thing is that we're, no, okay, you told me about what you did. What are you going to do next? And the newcomer who's trying to take your seat, what is he going to do next? But you don't hear that shit. And that's not just here in Georgia. That's all over the United States of America. That's all you hear. And you all buy into it. You don't question it. That's the problem I have. Let me open the mic here. Let's see. 585-622. I'm going to open up your mic. You know my rules if you've been on this show. State your name if you don't mind and where you're calling from, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. My name is Julio. I was in the chat room, and I'm from New York.
Welcome. So, thank you for calling in.
Yeah. So I think the main problem here with society in terms of issues is that the majority of society is not given the proper info for them to know, right? That's why a lot of the decisions that are being made, people didn't know why they are being made. Take, for example, this whole Trump thing. When Trump became president, one of the first things he did was take the United States out of the Paris Accord. I don't know if you guys know what the Paris Climate Accord is. Mm-hmm. It's this, it's like a UN where they say that global warming is bad, and their solution to everything is to tax more. So their theory is that when they tax the people more, then you would use the fossil fuel less. So when the gas prices go up, that they're, in their mind, they think that you'll drive them. But when Trump became president, he said, no, I don't believe in this theory. I'm going to take the United States out of this climate court, and you're not going to tax it. So our gas prices went down from $5 to, I think, like $1.50 at one time, but $2 for sure during Trump's presidency because he did that. And when he did that, the whole every country that was in the Paris Accord got mad at him. They hated him. Why? Because they weren't making money from the United States. Trump did the most incredible thing. When the gas prices go down, I'm pretty sure you guys know this, it's not just the gas prices, it's the food prices as well. It's the clothes as well. Everything goes down because trucks now don't have to spend so much in gas. So when Trump got kicked out of office, because there's a theory, but I'm just going to say Trump didn't make it and Biden won. What's the first thing Biden did? He put the United States back into the Paris Accord. So now the countries, all the countries that are making money off the taxes of the United States are so happy. They love it. And what's happening? We got inflation. Everything's going back up. Now, Trump didn't just do that. He did a whole bunch of things. One of the great things that he did that shocked me was he lowered the tax for businesses in inner cities. Inner cities meaning in the ghetto, where a lot of black-owned businesses are, Hispanic, Asian. He lowered the taxes. He didn't lower the taxes. He said that you didn't have to pay taxes for 10 years if you were to open a business in these parts. Isn't that incredible? What president did?
None. Well, okay, so hold on. I want to interrupt you for a moment. I'm going to let you finish, but where are you getting this documentation, and where can I find it for you to prove to me that this is, or to the listeners, that this is a fact?
Yeah.
And
you're going to have to look it up. You're going to have to.
Well,
yeah,
what,
you're going to have to look it up. And from
you're saying I have to look it up. Where did you get the information from? Can you tell me where you got it from? I'll follow your trail.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, I got it from shows like Alex Jones. I got it off Google. Candace Owens. I don't know if you know who Candace Owens is.
Wait a minute, Alex Jones? Wait a minute, hold on,
you
sir.
Know what?
You said
Forget
Alex
Jones.
Candace
Owens. Candace Owens.
Oh, and Candace Owens. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Candace Owens.
So
look into that. There's a lot of this. And so my
okay.
point from the beginning of the, when I first came on was a lot of the issues with society is that you guys are not given the information. You know, you're basically being told what the television tells you. Biden in his first year did more than Trump. My question is, what did he do?
I'm going to have to mute you for a moment. I appreciate you calling. I'm going to open up your mic in a minute because I have another caller here. I want them to have a chance to chime in. 909-319. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Mr. Gain, the rest of the show, Mr. Officer Crenshaw. This is Robert Bringett Boy, and
what's
thank
up,
you for taking my call. Thank you.
Bringett Boy,
there we go. It's over here. I hear like restaurants close early. They close like about 8 o'clock, and usually they're open until 10, like the dining room to walk in and order something. And here I can't go in there, or, you know, I can go to the drive-thru, but then I'm going to waste gas for you to get my food. And it's like, how these places stay open, who's like, are they getting some kind of money? Because here I got money to spend, but they're not open. How are they doing this? That's what
okay.
I want to know. Like, they got to accept money to stay afloat, but here they're closed. And it's like, well, great. That just happened here in California a lot lately.
Hmm.
Okay.
And I wonder,
why
are they doing
heard...
that?
Right. Well, you know what amazes me is that everybody that's a co-host on my show, I work at Walmart, at a Walmart. I work in the electronics and photo lab. I'm trying to understand the ignorance of people because When did the pandemic start? How long ago? Anybody, just say
2 years.
How long ago?
It was the end of 2019 when they first started talking about it.
So 2 years, right? 2 years is when the pandemic started. Why are people not informed or understanding that Walmarts are not 24 hours anymore? They close at 11 o'clock. Why are you still driving your ass up to the store at 12 midnight and 1 a.m. in the morning? You close? Where have you been? Do you not realize many stores do not stay open 24 hours other than your convenience stores? Walmart has not been 24 hours in 2 years. But that's the ignorance, right? And ignorance is not a bad word. It's just that you don't do your research and understand things do change. But people don't do the research, right? So I can't really answer your question, but I understand, okay? People don't look investigate certain things.
Let me try to answer Bring a Boy's question. I think it's got a lot to do with product and demand. Right now, even though the businesses are opening, they're closing early simply because there's no employees. Even though unemployment supposedly went down, you have people applying for jobs so they can quit it or get fired just to go draw unemployment still. So a lot of the businesses are opening back up. They want your money, but they can't stay open 24/7 or regular hours. Hell, I was at Chipotle trying to get some food, and I sat in the damn drive-thru for an hour, and everybody walking past the damn window. I finally went inside, and they're like, well, we don't have anybody here. I said, one of you couldn't open your fucking mouth to tell me nobody's here? Drive around and let me just sit there?
And that's a good point, Officer Crenshaw. But go ahead. I want you to finish your story.
So I understand what he's saying. He's got money to spend. He wants to spend it, but apparently they don't want it. Well, it's a bunch of lazy-ass people in the world. The ones that are working
and
are burnt out. You know, they're overworked. So, you know, I don't know if that really answers his question or not.
Mm-hmm.
But
I want to say this.
Hold on a minute, everybody.
I want you to chime in. I want to say this because what I just did, I actually scheduled the show to shut down at 8, but I went ahead and added a little more time. So folks can share. I added another 30 minutes. But what Officer Crenshaw was just saying, he's on point because there's a term that they have out. And Bring It Boy, you probably heard it. Oh, there are people who get in jobs just to do enough, okay? They just want a job, and they're only going to do just enough to not get fired and get a check, okay? That's it. Again, I recall where I went to a Waffle House. Now, for you folks who live in other areas, you probably never heard of Waffle House, but there's one at damn near every exit in Georgia, okay? Waffle House has always been a 24-hour establishment. There's one right down the street from where I live, all right? Just less than, what, maybe 6-7 months ago, this Waffle House was closed. It's 24 hours. I'm like, what the hell? Lights were out. I'm like, Waffle House shut down? No. So one day, I decided to stop there. They were open. I walk in the door. There's employees in here, probably three of them. One's sitting in the booth doing some kind of paperwork and shit. And I'm like, and they just look at me and they just turn back to what they're doing. And the one girl looked and said, we're not taking orders. I said, excuse me? She said, I said, we're not taking orders. I said, but you're open. She said, yeah, well, our manager's not here, and we can't take any more orders until our manager gets here. I said, well, why do you have your door fucking unlocked? And that's what I said. And she said, you ain't got to cuss me. I'm like, yeah, but I'm kind of pissed off.
Because as a company, why would you have people walk into your establishment and you can't serve them or sell anything? It makes no damn sense. And as I walked out the door, here comes 2-3 other vehicles go in the park to think that they're open. Because it goes back to what Officer Crenshaw said. You got folks who cannot take the lead and run a business, or you got folks that don't, as far as the job thing. True enough, jobs have gone up. But you got people who are employed that don't show up to work because they're getting part-time. They're only getting maybe 16 hours a week. Many of them are young kids who still live at home. So they're not dependent on that check, per se. That's their spending money. That's their fun cash. They don't have responsibilities like you grown folks here, right? I hope you follow what I'm saying. That's what you have now. Your customer service sucks. Your customer service sucks because your customer service sucks because the employees are not getting trained correctly whatsoever. Whatsoever. They go through an orientation of what the company's rules are, but they're not trained correctly on how to do the job. That's one major problem. And everything now is automated. All your training is done on a computer. You don't talk to a person anymore. I recall when I worked for a company, we used to go to classes and had an actual individual talking to us to train us. Now it's a computer. You can't ask a computer a fucking question. When I had a trainer, we asked them a question. They said, you know what, I don't know the answer, but when you all come back to class the next day, I will have an answer. You don't get that now. Employees don't get that now. But that's the type of society that we live in, computerized, automated, everything. No personal contact whatsoever. And back to closing of stores, Walmart's about to close a bunch of stores. And when a Walmart starts closing down, this is what, the number one retail store in the world? There's a problem somewhere. That should be a hint and a half of where things are going to go in years to come. That's my opinion. Janet, I think you were trying to chime in, but bring it board, thank you for chiming in. You have another question. I'll let you go ahead and speak on it. Janet, did you want to respond?
No.
Okay. Bring it board, did you have another comment?
I was just going to say, and also too, these young kids are getting paid $16 an hour, and you get an attitude. I was at McDonald's one day, and I was listening to these two girls talking, and they were just saying so much, the most outrageous stuff was coming out of their mouths. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, how can you guys still be working and just speaking like, you're on the streets? And the manager had just walked out, and there's this older couple behind me, and we're only two really in the place. And these girls were embarrassing. And the manager came walking back in, and I just mentioned to him, I go, I think you might want to retrain these girls. Their company representative, they're just not looking good for the company, way they're speaking.
I find that interesting what you just shared, because here's the thing, I keep asking folks questions or asking this question and looking at this whole thing. Let's keep in mind, we just spoke about the pandemic. We just spoke about the economy, about, this and that. But here's the thing. Before the pandemic, there was a big debate years before about fast food workers getting $12, $13 an hour. Construction workers were like, shit, if they're going to get $12, $13 an hour, Hell, I'll quit my job and go work at a fast food, right? Let's look at it where you can't really survive off of $7 and $8 an hour. That is a fact, okay? The economy is showing you that. But then what happened? The pandemic came, and then once it kind of settled down, all of a sudden, everybody's offering you $15, $12, $15, $16 an hour. Come work with us. And people didn't bite. People didn't bite. Some did. But the corporations could have paid that shit before the pandemic. They're making record profits. So you can't tell me that this could not have been avoided regarding, what I'm saying, regarding paying people a decent wage. They could have been done that shit. And I think, in a sense, as some other hosts of other shows have said, that in a sense, sadly, the pandemic occurred, people died, but it opened up our eyes to a certain extent. But still and again, you don't have people working full-time jobs, trying to get jobs as much. Well, now they are. But most of them are part-time, not full-time. But you could have paid folks $15 an hour 2 years ago. You could have done it.
Well, Mike, let me ask you one question in regards to Bring It Boys' story. Would you expect them to talk a different way in the establishment if they were making $5 an hour and or making $50 an hour? What would you expect?
Hold on. I missed that one word. The first part you said, what I thought a different way, right? That's what you said first, what? Right? You said, okay, I missed that first word that you said, or the first
phrase.
What would you expect?
What would you expect of your employees as far as how they talked inside of the establishment? If they were making $5 an hour versus $50 an hour.
Oh, I expect them to still be respectful. It doesn't matter.
And
right.
I think that was his point.
It doesn't matter.
You know,
right.
Because he had an elderly couple behind him, and they were still talking like they were out on the street. And
correct.
when he just mentioned to the manager they might need to be retrained, you know, based on the pandemic, any and everybody's getting hired if they want to work. But to run a business, you still have to have certain rules and guidelines. Because if I'm 80 years old and I'm going to spend all my money there, but you're going to make me feel like I'm 98, I'm not going to come back no more.
Well, let me tell you this, is that we're, okay, so now.
Well, I'm
okay,
sorry, I said that back.
If you're going to
treat me like 98, I'm going to come back, but if you're going to make me feel like I'm 12 by the way you're talking to me, I'm not going to come
back. Correct. Because it's a thing of just respect. And unfortunately, this society or this generation, and I'm just going to put it out there, have no respect, not just for the elderly, but even for themselves. Okay?
Right.
I see it every fucking day. And I'm sorry, I'm cussing. I don't normally cuss on the show, but it is my show. I can do what I want to. You all have heard it.
Janet,
but that's how what makes me so damn mad that I see every day. And not just the young generation, even grown folks being disrespectful and being just like, why do you have to cuss at this person for no reason? Why is every other word out of your mouth is a cuss word?
It's too many words.
Why
you
are you
use that you don't have to say curse words, swear words?
Well, there's folks, right, true. But there's this folks, as I said, I hear it and see it every day. Okay? And going back to what Bring It Boy said, is that, well, yeah, need to retrain them. There are some jobs that will fire you on the spot. If the right manager hears you say the wrong thing, you will be fired right then and there.
But there are some companies where they have to document you on your behavior in certain places. True. Very true. You have to have so many warnings of your behavior in order for them to terminate you. Some companies have those type of policies. And, you know, and that's what gets me, policies. That word is so interesting because there's different policies in police, right, Officer Crenshaw? It's not a law, but it's a policy. Law trumps policy, right? The law trumps a policy. But a company, a privately owned company, oh, no, you have to follow their policy. You go to a Walmart, their policy is to check your receipt before you go out the door. That's their policy. It's not a law, but that's a privately owned company. Walmart is not on the stock market. It's owned by the Walton family. So they can make their own rules. And you sit up there and act an asshole, they can call the cops. And you know what the cops are going to say? The cops are going to say, what is it, Officer Crenshaw, what is the cop going to say?
I'm sorry, I faded out for a minute.
No, I said, if you act an ass at a store that asks you for the receipt or whatever, and they call the cops on you, and you still acting ass, what can they arrest you for?
Oh, trespass, criminal trespass, if you refuse to leave.
But if you're acting up, what is the other term?
Oh, disorderly conduct.
There you go. That's the number one.
Disorderly conduct.
Disorderly. Yep. Now you might get released from jail without a bond. They might let you out on what they call OR, on recognizance, and they'll release you. But that charge is on you. You've been fingerprinted, this and the other, and now you're in the system for disorderly conduct because you refuse to show your damn receipt. Come on.
People don't know is the smart thing is to go ahead and go to jail, spend the night in jail, get released because that's a city charge. When you go in front of the judge in the morning, it's going to be dismissed because you spent the night in jail versus you trying to bond out stating that you want to go to trial through state court.
Well that is because I was at first when you started saying that, I was about to say, wait a minute, who the hell wants to spend the night in jail? Nobody. But I see
right,
what you're saying. No one wants to be in jail. No one wants to be in the backseat of a fucking police car. No one wants to be in handcuffs. But I get what you're saying. That makes a little more sense if you're willing to go down that road. Because you don't have to pay for bond. Now your money's not up. Right.
Well, and the main thing is your charge gets dismissed because you spent the night in jail. So it's actually like it never happened. Other than you being in jail.
Okay.
You just
interesting point.
But if you bond out, you're on record now waiting trial at state court versus city court.
True. It gets transferred over.
State court going to try to pull you for more money. They're going to reset your case, waiting for you to get an attorney or a public defender. And that's going to cost you more money.
That's true.
Now, the gentleman from New York who asked, what have Biden done? We could probably go into several things, and you'll probably dispute it. And me, just being me, you know, sometimes I'm a comedian, sometimes I'm a cop, sometimes I'm a wise ass. I will say Biden has never lied to the American people about an election. No, I'm just messing with you, dude. I'm just messing with you.
Okay, I have to say that was they left the conversation in the chat room.
Okay.
They were in the chat room, so they left the conversation.
Because that's what they did on the debate. So I was just messing with you.
So now that and let's get back to we'll go back to and discuss a little bit of what occurred as far as this last hearing. Now that everyone has voted to subpoena former President Donald Trump, where does it go now? Jenna, I believe that you shared some information, but I want to hear everybody else's opinion. Where do you think this is going to go now? In my opinion, I think this is going to draw keep going on through the holidays until the next term. And it's going to just get buried.
But Mike, if it went to the Supreme Court and they kicked it out, it's not going to go any further. If anything, it goes back to whatever the circuit court ruled, you know, so he's done. He can't go any further.
Not that, Janet. We're talking about the vote. The vote.
Right, that's what I was
going
to say. To be subpoenaed.
The vote.
Well, they voted.
I think that they're going. Well, you know, he's going to deny it. But like I said, right after they said and they voted that they were going to subpoena him, Trump himself said he would do it, but he wanted it to be televised. He wants to make a circus.
Which should not be. Okay. So that shouldn't be a problem.
But they said no.
But I'm thinking that this will be drawn on until after the election of the midterm, and if the Republican Party gets control of the Congress, it will just be dismissed.
They're going to throw everything out because they're going to start investigating everybody.
Well, that was my question. Do you think it will get to that point? Will they buy the time for it to get
dismissed? I think
they're
going to do something beforehand. I think they're not going to wait. I think they're going to do something beforehand.
Bring it, boy. What do you think in this situation? What do you think is going to happen?
I would if Janet has a good point about it, I would say his best bet is to have it done now, bring him on, and then say what he wants to say. If this is not a If it's true of what happened, then that's him, testify to him. What the hell?
Okay.
I mean, I have a lot more that I want to say, but I'm just going to go with it, just leave it at that, because it's all hearsay.
No, you can say what you want to say, but this is what this platform is for. I want you to share what you think. This is not a Democrat platform. It's not a Republican platform. It's not an independent platform. It's a platform for everyone to share their thoughts.
I just want to make that very clear. I'm just going to say real quick, let him come on there and then make fools of them to all who believes that this is even a trial or a hearing or whatever it's supposed to be. It's just a show. I'm sorry. It's all hearsay. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Appreciate your point or your
Thank you for letting me my point. Thank you, sir.
Officer Crenshaw, what do you think?
He's not going to come on. They're not going to break the rules for him, just like they didn't for Navarro or the other guy who wanted to have it live. But what's going to happen is it's going to, knowing that he's willing to come forward for that subpoena, is going to ignite DOJ based on everything that they have to go ahead and subpoena him criminally to where he has to testify criminally and not because the hearing is more like a civil hearing to where you go give a deposition. You know, they can't bring charges. But they're trying to see where Trump's mindset is right now beforehand. They already know that he took the document. irregardless of all the other stuff that they're saying. You know, they know he's guilty of taking the documents. They have documentation to where he told the National Archives, yes, I have this. I'll give it back to you, but you have to give me this.
Mm-hmm.
That's an admission.
Right, that's his businessman sense of making a he's trying to negotiate something.
Right, and that was an admission of him being in possession of documents he shouldn't have been in possession of. So, you know, whether they do him like Al Capone and tax evasion or whatever they're going to do, my thing is they need to go ahead and hurry up and do it, because I don't want to go to sleep thinking Trump. You know, I'm tired of Trump. He's gone. He's not the president anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
Let me ask you this question,
because I think this is the next logical question. Because the president of the United States, you, unlike, say, Hillary Clinton in her case,
right.
A president has the power to declassify.
Correct.
Okay. You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yeah.
Okay. Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different
right.
things, but as I understand it, there doesn't have to be. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it, and there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything. Now, I declassified things, and we were having a lot of problems with NARA. You know, NARA is a radical left group of people running that thing, and when you send documents over there, I would say there's a very good chance that a lot of those documents will never be seen again. There's also a lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace?
I'm trying to understand that whole thing. There's
National
a process.
Archives,
there doesn't have to be. Oh, hold on. There's a process, but there doesn't need to be a process. There's a process, but there doesn't need to be a process. Which is true?
Well,
there's a process,
but there doesn't need to be a process from what he understands, from what multiple people have told him. That's what he said.
Okay.
There is an actual process. You can't just say it's declassified. It has to be documented.
Well, he also said, I could think
is
about
everything
it. He said,
the National Archives. Everything is supposed to go to the National Archives.
Hold on. And you're right. But here's the thing that I want everyone to listen to. My point is this. He said there's a process which has always been in place. And then, as Officer Crenshaw said, for what he was told, who told him that? And you're the president of the United States. Officer Crenshaw, I could come and tell you any damn thing. You're going to believe every damn thing I tell you about looking into it?
And that's one of the things that I was going to say to the gentleman from New York who asked that question. Because he was saying Trump did this, Trump did that. It wasn't Trump. It was members of his board, his Senate, his Congress that was putting these things in front of him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That did those things. Trump just signed off on them. You know, he's not a politician, so he doesn't really know the rules of the game. He was having to rely on people around him.
Okay, so can I say this? And you know this is what I do. Here's another term. Ignorance of the law is what?
No excuse.
Come on, man. No excuse. You're the president of the United States. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
And that's why he believes in 9/10 of possession.
Hello. Ignorance, you will be trolled in a court of law if you sit up there in front of a judge and say, hey, I didn't know that. Well, your ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, I don't know every damn law, but that's what they tell you.
Well, they get you on that every year with the IRS. You know, your accountant
mm-hmm.
does your taxes, but you sign off on it. You know, so if it's not done that's your fault.
Right. Your accountant is not going to jail or not being fined or whatever the case may be. You are, because you signed off on it. You believed in what your accountant did, which in turn said that you understood. When you sign off, that means you understood everything. You comprehend everything to the best of your ability. But if it comes out wrong, they're going to look for you, not your accountant. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And that's a fact, America. That's a fact. You can't change the laws. Another old saying, you can't change horses in the middle of a stream. There's thousands of them, but they've all been proven to be correct.
Well, whatever they're going to do, I just wish they'd hurry up and do it because, he doesn't need to be the spotlight anymore. You know, I'm tired of them interrupting General Hospital for these news briefings and stuff.
Yeah, we got to move on. We got to move on, get this over with. But we have to abide by the laws because all of us, even you being a former officer, you can't go out there and break a law and use being an officer or a former officer as your excuse. I don't know if you guys have seen where I saw on social media of this officer or this chief of police got irate against other officers of another town, and it was on social media, and it actually hit national news. And now there's a big, boo-hoo over it. Where there's some retaliation, this officer is trying to retaliate against these other officers who pulled him over due to the fact that he had a ghost. His windows were tinted was the reason why, heavily tinted. And when they ran the tag, it came back wrong. Then they ran it again, and they come to find out it's a ghost tag, meaning it's not registered. It's a police vehicle, right? So you can't.
Right.
Oh, Chris, you know what I'm talking about. But
right.
The video's out there. Take a look at it. And this chief of police is now retaliating against these officers. And he called their superior, and they got into a big deal. I mean, this is what we're coming to. When police jurisdictions are certain officers, I guess, and police chiefs, feel like they're above the law. And they're not.
Well, it's always been that way. It's just that in the world we live in today, more is being visibly seen. But it's always been
correct.
That way. You know, you would pull somebody over. Do you know who I am? And I would tell them,
right.
No, do you know who I am? And they would look at me funny. You know, I said, hell, I'm Officer Crenshaw. Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Lieutenant so-and-so. Oh, okay, where you work? You know, you come at me one way, I'm going to come at you that way. You come at me kindly, I'm going to come at you kindly. You know, I didn't give a shit who they were. And that's why I'm not there no more. I retired.
Right, and as you all well know, and we have about 10 minutes left on the show, When I speak of these things with former President Donald Trump and everything, of course, I just mentioned there's tons of videos of police officers, of judges and everything that have been pulled over, and they feel like because of their power, they're above the law. You all know this.
That's now. You know how many judges
No, what I'm saying is that you said this has always been going on, but now we see it more because of technology.
Right.
It's more visible now because of technology. It's been going on. And obviously these individuals who feel like they're above the law don't think that technology, the video camera, the audio and everything, can put them in trouble. But it does. And it exposes something, which you just said, has been going on for a long time, but fortunately we're seeing it. But here's the dumb thing about it, is that, or the crazy thing about it, even though the audio and the video is there, people don't want to believe it. They're like, that didn't happen. You're looking at it, damn it. Shootings, murders. You're looking at it. You're looking at a body cam. You're looking at a dash cam. You're looking at a person who's standing by with just their regular cell phone recording this shit, and you don't want to believe it. Even with the most amazing technology ever, we don't want to believe it. That's the sad part about it. That's how I look at it. I know we're down to what, 8 minutes left, but think about this, and I want us to have a show. In fact, next week, I want us to have a discussion about technology. You know, when you're born, you come here butt ass naked. You don't bring shit to this world. Everything you need, honestly, God put here. Everything, our food, our clothing, every single thing that we create, God put on this earth. Trees, you build homes out of wood, right? Gasoline, oil, it's in the ground. Everything, you come with your butt ass here, and you leave here butt-ass naked. You might get buried with a suit on, but you know what I'm saying. But the point I'm saying is that when technology got to this point of where almost everybody in the world has a cell phone, you can communicate across the globe, the frequencies, things you can't even see, is here.
Something like that early in the show. Somebody asked why they were video recording during the January 6th with Nancy Pelosi on the phone and everything.
Correct.
It's second nature. It's a spontaneous reaction to grab your camera. It's become a spontaneous reaction to grab your camera.
To live stream it, record it, right. And a lot of these social media pages, TikTok and all that shit, wouldn't exist if it wasn't for what you record, what people share. Think about it. Back when I was a kid, we didn't have video. We had a camera. You took a picture, a Polaroid picture. You shook it like a Polaroid picture, like Andre 3000 said in a hit song, for it to develop. Now it's instantly shared everywhere around the world. But when you look at it, and now here, this is evidence of something that occurred that can be something used to prove a person's innocence or guilt. We don't want to believe what we're looking at. We are convinced, don't believe what you see. To me, that's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. The most amazing thing in technology is all the visual gadgets that we have. You'd rather believe a damn video game than a video recording of a crime. That's beyond my understanding. It really is. So, I don't know. That's the world that we live in. But next week, I definitely want to get into technology and all the different things that we use and the creation of them, the benefits it has. In fact, I didn't get to another topic, which we'll pick up on next week, where you look at where NASA sent that rocket to hit an asteroid that was no threat to us just to see if they could get it off course. I hope that they didn't put it on course to circle around and maybe hit us. But we weren't worried about asteroids. Not really. But now they want to make sure that it never happens. And if it does happen, that it's on course for the planet Earth, we can send a rocket to knock it off its course. You all know about that, right? So, we're going to get into a few things. Let me see. Bring It Boy, you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm missing you guys.
Okay. Do you have any final words or comments before we get out of here?
With cops with the body cameras, all I know is they got big thumbs, and they can know how to block that picture when it comes time to.
Okay. You're a comedian, too.
I like that.
I have my moments. It's a tough crowd.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Thank you for taking my call back.
No, thank you. And thank you for joining us. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
I always see you in the chat room. You're more than welcome to come and join us anytime. Appreciate it
very
much. Real quick, before I get out of here, I have to make these couple of drops real quick.
Hey, this is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah.
Hey, this is St. James, and you're tuning in to TMGN, The Michael Gay Network, home of The Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It, with your host, Cotton Campbell. So keep it locked here for more great conversation on the TMGN, The Michael Gay Network. Let's get it, baby.
All right. Had to put those drops in. Officer Crenshaw, your final words before we get out of here and run out of time.
Enjoyed the show. Loved all the conversation. And trying to remember Cotton's show on this coming Thursday, the 20th, right, at 6?
Correct.
Eastern time?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Got it.
All right. We got to get out of here. Janet, I think she dropped. But, hey, you guys, thank you for tuning in to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, here on the TMG in the Michael Gay Network. And don't forget we'll talk about it with Cotton Campbell every third Thursday of the month. Hey, look, you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. And we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.